Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Ruth. You can turn in Ruth to chapter 3. We will get there in a bit. So we have been talking about some different characters in Ruth. We spoke about Naomi and her faith and her faithfulness in believing God, returning to Bethlehem, to Judah, when she heard that the Lord had visited his people, and the testimony that she had to have had for Ruth, because of Ruth saying, "Your God will be my God," and coming back to Israel with her, and the attitude that Naomi displayed to Ruth in having her go glean in the fields, and speaking about what Boaz would do when she went to ask him to be the kinsman redeemer. That displayed a great deal of faith in God that Naomi possessed, despite the difficult circumstances that she had been through the death of her husband and the death of her two sons. And then we talked about Ruth last week and her faithfulness and her trust in the Lord, and how that was on display for all the people, and how she said to Naomi that she would follow her and God would be her God. But then she displayed it in her actions. And even when Boaz says, "I have seen that you are a virtuous woman, all the city has seen that you're a virtuous woman." And just thinking about the faith that she displayed in her behavior and the things that she did with taking care of Naomi. And so it would be appropriate then this evening to think about Boaz and the part that he played in the story. His part is a bit smaller than Ruth and Naomi's, obviously, but his part is the type of Christ that we see in the story of Ruth. And so what we're going to look at in a moment is the Redeemer. So in the book of Ruth, who is the Redeemer? Well, first and foremost, literally you can say that Boaz is, because he is literally the kinsman redeemer. He is literally the one that has been tasked with redeeming Naomi and Ruth. And you say, "Well, wait a second, I don't know what that means." That's a likely situation and understandable. So the word is actually, in the Hebrew, is goel. And el is actually a broad term for God. And it's goel, it's the kinsman redeemer. The Redeemer is referring to God. And this was told to us in the book of Leviticus. I obviously wrote down the wrong passage for that, which I do apologize. And it is about the situation in Israel if someone died. And because of the inheritance laws of Israel, if a father had inherited a piece of land, and he is going to pass that piece of land on to his sons. And he can, before he dies, if he has three sons, he can split it up before he dies and give each a parcel of that land. Now, if I had three sons, which I do, and I was in Israel, and I die and leave a portion to each of those three sons, and they all are grow up to be men, and one of them gets married, and before he has any children, he dies. It is the part of one of his brothers in Israel to then marry his wife. And when he marries his wife, the firstborn son would be called after his brother. So in this case, if Malachi married someone and he died before he had any children, Elijah, who would be the next closest, would be the closest kinsman because of the age difference. He would be tasked with then marrying Malachi's wife, and then his firstborn son would receive the inheritance that Malachi received. His secondborn son would receive his inheritance. If Elijah had already been married, then he couldn't redeem the property to Malachi's family, and it would go to Isaiah to then marry Malachi's wife, and the same situation would apply. That's the law of the kinsman redeemer, so that the name of a family doesn't die out in the land of Israel, so that the inheritance stays with the families. And you can see this throughout the Old Testament. The first situation we have that's representative of this is with Judah, one of the sons of Jacob, one of the 12 sons of Jacob. Judah had a son, and Judah, his son, grows up, gets married to a woman named Tamar, and his son dies. Judah has other sons that should have played the role of kinsman redeemer for his son, for Tamar. And yet, Judah does not marry them to her. All sorts of things transpire, and it ends up that Judah has a son by Tamar. His name is Perez. And in actuality, Perez is in the line of Jesus Christ. It was the situation that Judah should have had one of his sons play the role of kinsman redeemer and didn't. And this is why it takes place that way. This is something that takes place throughout the scriptures, that this is supposed to happen, that one person is going to step in the gap for someone else that has died, so that their name does not die out in Israel. That's the kinsman redeemer. Judah then does that even later on, when you remember the story of Joseph, when he is in Egypt and he is second to Pharaoh. And Joseph wants his brothers to, he wants to find out whether or not his brothers have changed at all. And so he says, you know what, let's put some things back into their bags, and they're going to get in trouble for it. Well, finally, he has them bring Benjamin down, and he puts a lot of things in Benjamin's bag, and especially his own cup, so that Benjamin will be caught out, and he's going to have Benjamin stay there and be in trouble from the eyes of the other brothers. And when that happens, Judah stands up and he says, no, I will stand in the place of Benjamin. You let Benjamin go back to my father. I'll take his responsibility. I'll take his punishment. That was the role of the kinsman redeemer that he had learned previously with the situation with Tamar. And he stood in the place for Benjamin. He stood in the gap. And most scholars will tell you that the reason that the Messiah and the kings of Israel come through Judah is because of those two situations. Because of the role of the kinsman redeemer with Tamar, and because of him standing in the gap and being the redeemer for Benjamin. And it was a blessing that he received to be able to say the kings were coming through Judah and the Messiah was coming through Judah. So that's the idea behind the kinsman redeemer. So in the book of Ruth, Boaz is literally the kinsman redeemer. So we look in chapter 3 and start in verse 8. And it says, and it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. This is where Ruth has come to the threshing floor. And she has waited until Boaz has fallen asleep after he's had supper. He's worked all day. He's had supper. He's had things to drink, and he's laid down to go to sleep. And she goes over and she uncovers his feet so that it'll get cold in the night. And she lays down at his feet. And he wakes up because his feet are cold. And he looks around and he says, oh no, there's somebody here. And he's afraid. And that's the conversation that takes place. And he said, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. That statement, spread thy skirt over me, that's something that the psalmist uses. It's where God spreads his skirt over us as a redeemer. And what that's saying is, put me under your protection. Put me under your wing. So she's saying, take what I just uncovered from your feet and spread it over me as protection for me instead of for you. And she then declares unto him that you are a near kinsman to her, Ruth, even though she's a Moabitess. Why? Because an Israelite had died. And so it was then his responsibility to marry his widow. To marry his cousin's widow, and therefore raise up seed unto the brother, unto the kinsman. Verse 10, and he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning. Inasmuch thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman, howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of the kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down until the morning. And so he says, I will perform what's necessary for you to be the role of the kinsman redeemer. But there is somebody that is closer. So in this scenario, if I go back to the analogy with my three sons, and I'm sure they love this, that I use them. If Ruth had come to Isaiah, Malachi has died, and Ruth's come to Isaiah and says this to Isaiah. Isaiah then says, well, this is wonderful. I will play the part of the kinsman redeemer. However, there is a nearer kinsman than me, referring to his brother Elijah. If he can play the part of the kinsman redeemer, then he will. But if he does not, then I will. And I'm going to work it out today. I'm not going to wait. And so the story goes on. We won't need to read it, but the story goes on where Boaz goes to the city gate, which is where all the people would congregate going in and out of the city. And he sees the kinsman and he says, come here, I need to talk to you. And he gathers 10 elders of the city as witnesses. And he says, now Ruth has come to me for me to play the part of kinsman redeemer, but I knew that you were nearer than I. And so she has this piece of land that she's selling. Will you play the part of the kinsman redeemer? And this relative says, yes, I will. I will play the part of the kinsman redeemer. And Boaz says, now just understand that when you do buy the land, you also have to marry Ruth. And the kinsman says, I can't do that. We don't know why, but it's most likely that he has already been married. He's already married, or he has already been betrothed to be married. And so he can't then turn away and marry Ruth because he's already got a commitment to marry or has already married. And so Boaz then says, well, then I will take your role. And the man gives him his shoe, which is part of the ceremony of saying this is so. And everyone witnesses to this. In verse 9 it says, and Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate, and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthily in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Phares, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. And so everybody witnesses that Boaz has done this, that he is now married to Ruth, and he is going to raise up seed for Elimelech, Mahlon, and Chilion. Now, from what we understand, Boaz and Ruth had one son, and his name was Obed. So in that scenario, what happens is all that was Elimelech's, Mahlon's and Chilion's, and all that was Boaz's becomes Obed's. So that he is now the inheritor of both sets because he is the only son. And Obed has a son named Jesse, and Jesse has a son named David who becomes king of Israel. And you can see the connection of the story. And so quite literally, in this sense, Boaz is the Redeemer. He is the type of Christ. He is the one that has come to redeem the one that is in desperate need. The one that is in a desperate situation. And it's a beautiful picture. But in a second sense, Ruth is the Redeemer, if you think about it. Because in this story, who is the one that enables it all to happen? It's Ruth. She's the Redeemer. Because in this situation, if she doesn't go with Naomi, Naomi and Boaz are never going to be married. There is not going to be a child from them. Naomi is past the time of childbearing at this point. There's not going to be a child from that situation. There's not going to be the redemption taking place that, like we read about here. Ruth staying with Naomi and then going to the fields to glean, and then meeting Boaz, and then marrying Boaz, and then all being taken care of, in a sense, is the Redeemer in the story. She is the heroine, truly, of the Book of Ruth, which is why it is named the Book of Ruth. She's the heroine, and is, in a sense, the Redeemer. And you can see in her also a type of Christ, serving those that are above her, serving those that there is no connection to make that service not necessary, but automatic or duty. She does it out of love, not because it's her necessary service. She does it because she loves Naomi, and she does it willingly. And you can see that in the way that Boaz speaks of Ruth, that you're a virtuous woman, and all the city knows it. And the city praises Boaz, and the city praises Ruth in the way that they talk about making your house like Leah and like Rachel, and making you like Tamar and Perez. That's what they're doing, is they're praising them for their faithfulness to God in the things that He has commanded in the Old Testament. To say that they are lifting up the name of God by doing exactly what He has said. To do this is honoring to Him and all that He has said before. So we have Boaz as a redeemer, we have Ruth as a redeemer, we also have Obed as a redeemer. You say, well, wait a second, Obed is barely in the story, he's a baby at the end. But look at what is said in verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife, and when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better than to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. The one they're talking about here is not Boaz. They're talking about Obed. It says, and he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. That's Obed that they're speaking about. Now, from Hebrew scholars back in the past, they all understand that Boaz is actually an older man. He is much older than Ruth is. He is probably either the brother of Elimelech or a very close cousin to Elimelech. So they would have been in a similar age. Naomi would have been of a similar age to Boaz, as opposed to Ruth. So Ruth is almost the age of young enough to be his daughter when he marries her. In that scenario, you can understand why the women of Bethlehem say this to Naomi about Obed. Because Boaz probably doesn't have a lot of years left in him. He's probably closer to the end of his life than the beginning of his life. And what they're saying is, you now have Obed. And God is going to raise Obed up, and he is going to take care of you. He's going to be around when Boaz isn't. And he's going to be able to provide for you. And all that was Elimelech's, and Mahlon's and Chilion's, and all that was Boaz's, Obed is going to provide for you and Ruth with that. And that, in that sense, Obed is the Redeemer. Because that's exactly what these women are thinking. He's the restorer of your life. Isn't that what a redeemer is? He restores life when there is death. Well, that's what Naomi thought of her life. But now she's nursed to this baby, Obed. And the women say, he's your redeemer. He's given you hope that you didn't have before. That's what the redeemer truly does. And in those three things, we have a picture of Christ. In each of those, as the redeemer, Ruth, Boaz and Obed. Each of them shows us a different aspect of the life of Christ, of the redemption that we have in Christ. Think about Obed. Here he is. He's a wealthy man, but he's an older man. But he takes all that he has and devotes it to Ruth and Naomi. Well, that's what Christ does with us. He takes all that he is and sacrifices it for us, for our sin, so that we might have life with him. You think about Ruth and the service that she renders to Naomi. And in that sense, redeeming the life that Naomi thought was complete bitterness. And now she has hope. Well, that's exactly what Christ does, isn't it? He serves us. We see that picture when he's washing Peter's feet. And Peter says, no, not my, don't wash my feet. And he says, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part in me. And Peter says, well, then wash everything. And Jesus says, no, the feet is enough. He's serving those that should have been serving him. And we see that in Ruth. Here she is, she's serving Naomi. She's doing all that's necessary to redeem Naomi. And Christ does the same for us. And with Obed, even though it's only a little portion of the story, It's hope. It's hope for the future. That's exactly what Naomi receives when Ruth bears Obed. There is hope there. Well, what is Christ? He is our great and eternal hope. He is the one that we look forward to, regardless of life circumstances. That's the thing that helped Naomi be faithful, is Christ. You read the book of Hebrews and you look at Hebrews 11. What were they all hoping for? They were hoping for Christ. They are an example to us as we follow the same path, that He is our hope. And you can see each of them in that picture. And you say, well, does that really work? And I say, well, yes, it does. In Hebrews chapter 2, which is an incredibly beautiful chapter, and although it's an incredibly beautiful book, in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10 is amazing, and I always have to read it whenever I'm in chapter 2. For it became Him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, redeeming them, basically, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering, which is exactly what happens to Ruth. She goes through suffering. For both He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause He is not ashamed to call them brethren. He's not ashamed to call them brothers. That's what it says. What is Christ to us? He is our kinsman redeemer. There is a debt that we can't pay. That's our sin. We can't do it. We have no ability. Everything is gone. There is no more hope. But our kinsman redeemer says, no, I can pay the price, and I will. I will take what they cannot pay, and I'll pay it. And I'll take what they couldn't have, and I will give them everything that I have, just like Boaz. All that's mine is now yours. Isn't that what Christ says? That we inherit Christ? We are co-inheritors with Him? It's amazing. That's shocking. That is the part of the kinsman redeemer. And Christ says that He is not ashamed to call us brothers. He's not ashamed to call me His brother. He is the eternal God of the universe. He's the creator. He's the one that holds all things together with His power. And He says He wants me, little old Chuck, to be His brother. That's a staggering thought. Really consider what it is that God is saying to you with this passage. That as the kinsman redeemer, He is saying, you are my brother. And you will be His brother for all eternity. You're not God. You're never going to be God. But you are going to receive the inheritance of Jesus Christ, because He calls you His brother. That is something that ought to cause us to worship, ought to cause us to have a smile on our face in the midst of difficulties, to know that we have such a kinsman redeemer that has served us, that has laid down His life for us, that has given us hope, and that has said, all that I have is yours. Trust in me. Just as Boaz did, just as Ruth did, and just as though we trust that Obed did, being in the line of the Messiah. When you consider that, when you consider all throughout the Old Testament, it's constantly saying that God is the Redeemer. He's the Redeemer of Abraham. He's the Redeemer of Isaac, of Jacob, of all the sons, of all Egypt, of the Israelites that coming out of Egypt. He is the Redeemer. Read it in the Psalmist over and over and over again. Well, that's the epitome of that is the story of Ruth and Boaz. Because it points directly to Jesus Christ as our kinsman redeemer. So that all that He has is ours. He served us, and He is our hope. And so we point you to Him tonight. Amen.